and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. It is Friday, June 15th. Take a moment to join us this weekend to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to get involved with legalization today. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Father's Day, of course, this Sunday. We're going to have a great stash for you today. We'll check in with the CelebStoner.com headlines with Steve Bloom of CelebStoner.com. Also today, we have a special new segment. We'll be speaking with Danny Danko, the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine, about how patients and caregivers in the 12 states that allow medical marijuana access and cultivation can be self-sustaining with small home gardens. Danny offers a great segment today, sharing his knowledge and expertise. Also on the program today, we got Ziggy Marley, some great music for you on this Friday Father's Day weekend show here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Let's get right into it with our CelebStoner.com update.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom is the man with his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners of the world. You can read all about it on his website at CelebStoner.com. Steve joins us each Friday for an update on the Celeb Stoner headlines. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing very well today, Steve. Doing very well. Now, first of all, you're at Rob Cantrell's Chronic Comedy Show this week. How was that?
It was a lot of fun, and actually it was the second of the Chronic Comedy series. It's once a month. I think it's the first Monday of the month, or is it the second Monday of the month? I guess it's the second Monday of the month at Comics Comedy Club on 14th Street in New York. And the first time, you know, was a limited crowd. The second time seemed to pack in a little bit more, and hopefully by the third and fourth times, Rob can totally fill the room. It's a fun night. I mean, Rob is the star. He's the headliner. And if people don't know Rob Cantrell, he's a New York-based comedian who is friends with the Marijuana Logs guys, Doug Benson, Arch Barker, Tony Kameen. And when one of those guys can't make it to the Marijuana Logs gigs, which still float around the country periodically, you might see them at different places around the country, Rob will sit in. So he's a marijuana logger, and he started this this night in New York, the Chronic Comedy Night, and it's just a fun night of comedy. I mean, every comedian is not necessarily a pot comic per se. Rob definitely does a lot of marijuana humor. Rob likes to talk about his marijuana arrest, which you know you focused on the show and Audio Stash, and also I have on Celeb Stoner. And I think when that happens to somebody, it just puts you into a new arena. You know that you've been through the law and the system, and now you know a little bit more about it. Rob was arrested for smoking, you know, a roach or a one hitter outside a club a few months ago in New York, and spent 24 hours in the New York jail system. And the other comics on the bill, maybe in order of preference, is a guy named Shuley who performed the first time, who's very funny, does a lot of pot humor. A woman named Becky Donahue was pretty wild. She was very good. A guy named Kyle Grooms, who comes off of the Chappelle Show, was very funny. And I always post about a week ahead of time. I post a flyer for the show, the upcoming show at Celeb Stoner. So if you come to my site or you go to Rob's site or keep obviously in touch with Audio Stash, you'll find out when the next one is.
Now, Steve, you're based in the New York area, and you've been covering this medical marijuana move in New York at CelebStoner.com. So, You know, Steve, tell us about your take on all of this.
Well, it is big news here in New York. The medical marijuana bill passed on Wednesday through the assembly in the New York State Legislature. And this is a bill that Richard Gottfried, who's a Democrat assemblyman from Manhattan, has been re-entering into the legislature every year for probably the last 10 years. And it usually just gets stuck in committee and doesn't go anywhere. Well, lo and behold, with all the activity going around in the Northeast about medical marijuana, with Connecticut awaiting a signature from the governor on that bill, and it passed through the legislature there with the sort of alteration of the Vermont law to the, you know, decision that's sort of awaiting in Rhode Island as far as the legislature overruling the governor, who kind of turned down, you know, a revision of the Rhode Island bill. There's so much going on here in the Northeast, and it's kind of a surprise because, you know, everybody kind of thinks that everything that's happening in the medical marijuana world is all out west, and obviously it all started there in California and the western states, but it's starting to move here. And very surprisingly, this bill was voted on Wednesday and passed with a, you know, pretty solid margin, 95-52. Now it has to go through the Senate end of the legislature, and right now Joe Bruno, who's the Senate leader, has said that the Assembly version doesn't work, and the Assembly version basically allows for those who are in medical need who get approval from a doctor or recommendation, like in California, would be allowed to grow 12 plants and be able to possess, I believe, up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana at a time. That apparently is not acceptable to Bruno. Bruno seems to want to go the California method or model, which is to have dispensaries and not, you know, have people being allowed to grow for themselves. So he seems to disagree with the version that's been passed. But what's really interesting, now we'll see what happens, obviously, what the Senate does, and if they can pass a bill that gets to Spitzer. And if it does, Governor Elliot Spitzer has stated this week that he would most likely sign the bill. And that's really a shock because although Spitzer is a Democrat, and you would have thought that Spitzer might have been on the side of medical marijuana, when he was asked when he was running a year ago for the governor position here in New York, if he would support medical marijuana, he was very negative about it. But now he's stated that we've taken a hard look at it over the past number of months, and I'm open to signing a bill if it's properly structured for appropriate use based upon evidence that has been presented to me. And he says, you learn, you study, you evolve. This is one where I had, as a prosecutor, a presumption against the use of any narcotic. Now there are ways that have persuaded me that it can be done properly. Now, Spitzer, by the way, has admitted to using marijuana recreational when he was a college student. So, you know, it's nice to know that he's not going to be a hypocrite in the sense that he's used it, even if not for medical purposes, but, you know, he had used it, and he's not going to side with the anti-drug people and say, hey, this is not a good thing. So with Spitzer on the side of possibly, you know, ready to sign, this is exciting news in New York. So now we just have to get, in New York, have to get the Senate to pass a bill that brings, you know, the entire bill, you know, to the governor's office so the governor can sign, and that would be really exciting news. I mean, New York's one of the biggest states in the country, one of the biggest populations in the country behind California and probably Texas. So it would be massive. It would be a really big breakthrough.
And, Steve, you have a new section to the CelebStoner.com website, and that is the CelebStoner Girls. Tell us about this new area.
Well, yeah, I thought I'd do something like that because, you know, stoners, you know, like they're hot ladies and obviously, you know, hot men, the stoner women out there. So, you know, right now I started as Celeb Stoner Girls, but I might add some dudes. But I decided to start with a woman named Tian. She was one of the High Times pageant runner-ups. She didn't win. The High Times pageant was held in Jamaica back in February. She didn't win, but she was a runner-up, and she's very good friends with Sarah, who you've had on the show, who was the winner, and I met both of them down in Texas at South by Southwest back in March, and, you know, I like both of them quite a bit, and I've kept up a little bit more with Tian just by email and MySpace, and she sent me a note saying that she had had an interview with Alan St. Pierre of Normal, and so I you know, I just checked out her website or her MySpace page. I hadn't looked at it lately, and there were just a lot of great photos that she had posted of herself smoking, you know, joints, bongs. You know, she's a very pretty woman and, you know, sexy. And I just thought, you know, I'd like to give her a little place at Celeb Stoner and sort of start something new. And, you know, I'm not sure whether I'm going to do it monthly or whatever, but I'm just going to gradually add women and perhaps men. I'm not going to be biased here to the site, you know, who might, you know, show off their love of marijuana in a way that really is attractive. So Tian's the first one, and she was very excited about that. And I just wanted the world to know a little bit more about her. She's a really exciting young woman who really believes in the cause, and I think you're going to hear a lot more about her. Besides, you know, her vivacious, great looks, you're going to hear a little bit more about her in terms of, like, her intellect and getting involved in the movement.
Right on, Steve. Well, thank you again for joining us here today, and I'm looking forward to catching up on all the CelebStoner.com headlines next Friday.
All right, Chris. Thank you again.
Have a great weekend, Steve. Steve Bloom is the author of CelebStoner.com. He's got his finger on the pulse of celebrity folks who enjoy a toke across the world. Again, you can read it all at CelebStoner.com.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Today on the Audio Stash, you know, I am really excited to present our next guest and topic. 12 states allow legal access to medical marijuana, and under most of the programs, patients or their caregivers are allowed to cultivate their own medicine. But growing high-quality marijuana really is a science. For the beginner, getting good quality buds can be a daunting task. And for those who need consistent quality medicine, it's important to know some basic techniques for marijuana cultivation. So joining us today is the extremely knowledgeable cultivation editor for High Times magazine, Danny Danko. High Times and people like Ed Rosenthal have shared their knowledge of marijuana cultivation with the world, helping thousands of Americans who live in states that allow medical marijuana cultivation to be self-sustaining and to produce the best and safest medicine possible. So patients and caregivers out there, put on your green thumb today. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Danny Danko to the Audio Stash today. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Dan, it's really wonderful to speak with you today. Thanks again for joining us to share your knowledge with these medical patients and caregivers out there. So, you know, for patients who want to be self-sustaining, what's the best way to start with a small garden?
I think, if they have access to clones, that puts you a little further along the line if they're quality clones. I know in California you can get those at some of the clubs. But ultimately, most people who want to be self-sufficient, they're going to want to have a mother plant. Usually you want to grow that out from seed. So you'd want to get a pack of seeds from a reputable company and then basically germinate them. Some might be male and some will be female, and you want to pick a nice healthy female, and then you hold on to that. Basically you grow that vegetatively, which means you don't want to flower it. The way you find out if it's male or female, the best way is to take a cutting or a clone from the plants when you grow them out from seed, and then flower that clone to determine the plant is, male or female.
And what are the advantages of cloned plants as opposed to taking them directly from seed?
Well, clones will all behave alike, so you'll get a level canopy. With seeds, unless they're, you know, super stable strains, you're going to have some variation in the females. One will grow a little taller, one will stay shorter or stockier, so you won't have as level of a canopy, and you know, they'll behave differently. They'll be, you know, slightly different peak flowering times and such.
And what kind of indoor environment do you need? And if you live in an area with a great natural environment, would growing outdoors be acceptable for medical plants?
Yeah, I mean, outdoor or indoor is fine, but a lot of people and most patients, it would seem, don't have access to, the right outdoor space. Growing outdoors is really about location and having, you know, a sunny place that people won't see, you know, for several months. So not a lot of people, especially in cities, people just don't have access to that. And so the majority of people will most likely go indoors with their medical grows, especially if it's for personal use.
And Dan, from the point that a patient or caregiver begins growing, how long would it take before there's a supply of usable medical marijuana?
Well, if you're starting from seed, basically from scratch, and you're growing out the seeds, it's going to be a few months before you can have a mother plant whose sex that you've determined is female, and you're able to take cuttings from it and then flower those cuttings out. So I would say that process may take 3 to 4 months before you have medicine. Now, if you're growing from clones and you have access to rooted clones, basically you can vegetate those for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on the size of the plant that you want in the end, and basically 2 months or so from when you get those clones, you can have your medicine dried and ready.
And for an indoor garden, how much physical space would someone need to allocate for a small project with, say, 3 or 4 plants?
You know, it really depends on the size of the plant, but I've seen people grow, a pound in a small, 4x4 closet, so you don't need a ton of space. There's a lot of also grow boxes that sort of take care of a lot of the work. It's hard sometimes to ventilate a closet, but these grow boxes you can buy, they have their ventilation built in, the timers, the lighting, a lot of the stuff is kind of done for you. But as far as, a personal grow for a medical grower, you could go as small as a closet, and as long as the light is appropriate and not too much light for a small space, then, you can get plenty of medicine out of a pretty small space.
Dan, you mentioned the grow boxes. They seem almost too good to be true. Have you seen some effective ones out there?
I've seen some effective products. The problem I see a lot is just sort of heat. The boxes are usually made of metal, and they have ventilation systems, but not always adequate for the amount of light that they're putting out. So I see a lot of people with heat problems. But the idea is you want the amount of light that you're comfortable with being able to deal with the amount of heat that it makes. Some people would even go with a fluorescent light rather than the high-intensity discharge of the metal halides or the high-pressure sodiums because of those heat problems and ventilation problems.
Now, for medical patients, what kind of light would be best? And does it matter what exact kind of light you have?
I wouldn't say you need a specific light. I would just say that the amount of light, the intensity of the light, the lumens, will determine in the end, the density of the bud and the rate of growth. But I wouldn't say that. I would say it's much more important for a medical person, in my opinion, to grow using organic fertilizers and properly dry and cure and even flush at the end of their towards the end of their flowering period. Just use plain water for a week and maybe more, up to 2 weeks to sort of get out any sort of built-up metals or anything that might be just sort of stored inside the plant.
You mentioned organic fertilizers there. What are some good ones to use?
Well, I know that Canna, the company out of Europe, they make a great organic fertilizers. Advanced Nutrients has an organic line. There's the Pure Blend Pro. I believe that's from Botanicare. That's always worked pretty well. And there's also, smaller niche companies that put out, like age-old organics. They make teas and, bat guano, seabird guano, things like that, liquid seaweed. There's so many great alternatives to chemical nutrients that I wonder sometimes why people use them at all.
And what's the downside of chemical fertilizers? I mean, if you use those chemicals to fertilize, do you end up smoking that?
Well, there's a lot of contention sort of among different growers about, how much of that is actually absorbed into the plant. But from my experience, organic bud just burns better. It retains a better flavor. I think it's just, and ultimately, just as with vegetables or anything else you're going to put into your body, it just seems more natural to use, the same nutrients that don't kill soil and have a living soil. If you've got earthworms and things like that in your dirt, then you're doing fine. But a lot of those chemical nutrients, they just strip the dirt of any sort of life, and it's like force-feeding your plants. It's like giving them steroids. I'd prefer the natural. And I'm sure most medical patients, especially if they have conditions where their immune systems are down or they're already, feeling sort of run down, there's no reason to add anything to that.
And in talking about the soil, we do have to mention hydroponics. You know, what might be some advantages to growing hydroponically?
Well, hydro grows a little bit faster on average, just because the roots are able, if the conditions are perfect for the roots, they'll grow faster, the plant will grow bigger, the buds themselves will most likely swell larger than they would with organics, but, you know, I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing, especially because medical growers aren't really, they're not so much in it for the quantity, but the quality, and, you know, there has been a lot of new innovations as far as organic hydro, and a lot of experiments being done right now with that, and, you know, some great results are coming out of that. So ultimately, if they could find, you know, great way to do the organic hydro thing without clogging the drip emitters and things like that, and I know people are doing that, so, and I've had some great organic hydro buds. So the differences between organic and chemical growing is not the same as the difference between soil and hydro, because plenty of people can use chemicals in soil, and like I said, people are using organics and hydro, so there's a bit of crossover there.
We're with High Times Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. Dan, you mentioned for medical patients the issue is really quality over quantity. And for patients who really want the best possible medicine, what are the things that they need to do and keep in mind when planting their garden?
Well, I would say the number one thing is the choice of the seeds that you grow. A lot of people don't realize the tremendous amount of variety right now in, you know, the cannabis seed world. And there's certain varieties that can affect different ailments differently. You know, if someone's has nausea problems and aren't eating, there's certain varieties that they will respond to that will make them hungry. And there's other ones that will deal with spasms in the case of somebody who has MS and cancers and things. I mean, there's varieties that now, especially in California, they're really doing a lot of studies on specific ailments and specific illnesses. And so if they find that, you know, train wreck is more effective against spasms than another strain, that's the type of research that that people should do, because ultimately the genetics is going to determine the quality the most. And then beyond that, it's your skills as a grower. The ideal thing is never to overfeed or overwater. These are a lot of the beginner mistakes. You know, let the plant grow, let it, you know, go from dark to light cycles, let it go from wet to dry cycles. It needs that sort of to mimic how it would be living outdoors.
Now, Dan, for those patients and caregivers starting a garden for the first time, what would be the easiest approach? You know, many patients have mobility issues and are dealing with pain and other conditions. What would be sort of the lowest impact approach, especially for a beginner?
Well, I always recommend maybe something like a 5-gallon buckets with a nice loose soil mix. I know Fox Farm makes a lot of really great stuff like that. And, you know, nice loose mix where the roots can spread out. And that way you're not growing a lot of plants either, because in a 5-gallon bucket, you can grow a nice, you know, 3-4 foot tall bush and get, you know, over a quarter pound of quality medicine or more from one plant. And, you know, with the way the laws are structured and the plant amounts, a lot of times medical growers are only allowed, you know, under 10 plants or under 20 plants, depending, and you really want to get the most out of each plant. I wouldn't really tell those people to go with, you know, some complicated hydro system. I'd say, you know, get a nice grow light that's good for the space, you know, not too much, and then, you know, buckets and dirt and some clones, and then as long as you've got your air ventilation taken care of and, you know, you're willing to keep an eye on them and take care of them, you should be fine.
Now, how about the water for the plants, Dan? Should you use filtered water or tap water? I mean, should folks be concerned about water contaminants in their local water affecting the plants?
Well, I think it really sort of depends on people's water locally, because it varies so differently where they're getting their water from. But it's a really good idea to have it tested or do a home test on the water. You definitely want to make sure that your pH levels, when you're adding water to your soil buckets, you want to check the water going in, and it's also a really good idea to check the water coming out, because that will tell you the pH of the soil itself. And if you see your plants starting to yellow, and you're wondering, you know, I'm giving them nutrients, why are they turning yellow? A lot of times the problem may may be that they're not able to take in the nutrients because of the acidity or alkalinity, meaning the pH of that water or the soil. So, and a lot, you know, sometimes people just keep feeding nutrients and nutrients and killing their plants without really knowing that it's not a nutrient problem at all. It's the problem with the pH. It's also a great idea, any water that you're going to use on a plant, let it sit out overnight and, you know, a lot of the chlorine gases and stuff, if you have that problem, will evaporate. And so, it's always better to let it sit out and always test the pH of the nutrient solution that you're going to add.
Now, let's talk about that curing process. How do patients and caregivers make sure their medical marijuana is properly cured so it's easily smokable and comes out the best way for consumption?
Well, the first part of that, I would say the curing process actually begins while the plant is still alive with the flushing process. In the last, week, week and a half, of the plant's growth, flowering, it's really ideal to give it a lot of just plain water, let the whatever nutrients are in it sort of leach out, because that'll sort of clear out some of that the metals and things that might just cause a harsh smoke. And then beyond that, you want to do a decent job trimming the bud after you cut it down, so that there's not too much leaf to create a lot of harshness. You can use that leaf later on to make hash as well, which is a really potent concoction there. And, the curing process, I'd say, my ideal thing is you cut it down, trim the plants. Some people won't trim until after they hang dry. Either way is fine. I mean, the slower they dry, I think, the better, as long as you're not getting too much humidity, which could cause mold. But a nice, week or so in about a 50% humidity area with some airflow will get them to where they're crispy. And when you bend the stem, it'll crack instead of bend. So at that point, you're going to want to put them into jars and check those jars daily to make sure there's not moisture building up there. Release the air and then close it back up. And, as with wine, the buds will continue to cure for weeks and weeks and months. And I've even smoked some people's bud where they've had it in the jar for over a year, and it's amazing. It really does improve the quality of the flavor, the subtleties and tastes, and even the high sort of tweaked a bit as well. And ultimately, what you want is bud that will break up, nice, and when it's rolled in the J or whatever, that the ash burns clean and white, and you don't have a lot of trouble relighting it. And that's a lot of times how you can tell there's a lot of fertilizer in pot, is it just won't burn properly. You have to keep relighting it. I find that problem in Amsterdam a lot, with the coffee shop bud.
Now, Danny, what are the top three beginner mistakes in cultivating?
I would say overwatering, overfeeding the plant, and then just sort of over meddling, pulling leaves off, and there's a lot that you can do to sort of stunt the plant that may seem to you to be helping, but ultimately, the plant just wants to grow, and if you provide it with the proper conditions, it'll grow. But you can't, there's a line you shouldn't cross, and you can't go too overboard with that. And I find that a lot of beginners will focus in on just a small subject and leave gaping holes in the other things as far as light or air. It's basically just those elements. It's food, light, air, and air movement, and basic health and quality of the environment. And if you have those things covered, then 9 times out of 10, you'll be all right. There's always other things that come up, pests and issues like that, heat. But if you focus in on the main needs of the plant, you'll be rewarded.
And Danny, as cultivation editor for High Times, are you getting a lot of questions along these lines from medical patients and caregivers out there who are trying to grow the best possible medicine?
Absolutely. And the thing is, with all these states, I think now we have 12 states that are medical, but really only California and perhaps Oregon have you know, a real system of distribution, and it's not even a government system. The people took it upon themselves. And so there's all these discrepancies in these states. It's very difficult for someone, even in a medical state, to find information, to find, you know, a genetic material, any kind of info, and they you know, they really don't know. The government hasn't sort of stepped up and figured out what to do, you know, about these changing laws. So, you know, that's I do hear a lot from patients who are sort of lost, that they don't, that they're not being helped, you know, locally by their government, and, you know, they're desperately in need of information and medicine.
So it sounds like you might want to see the states that allow medical cultivation offer a booklet of information for patients, or even a helpline with someone who has this knowledge to provide to qualified patients directly from the state program that coordinates these efforts.
Absolutely, because, you know, just getting the card is one thing, but then, you know, if you still have to go out into the black market to get your medicine, it's really not much different. I mean, you're not going to get in jail for it, but you're still supporting a black market, and you're still not self-sufficient, and, you know, and you still don't know, you know, the quality. There's no control over the quality of the product, and when that control is in the hands of, you know, maybe unscrupulous, you know, dealers or even, you know, criminal, you know, organized criminal crime organizations, you know, I think that they're the last people that are going to have patients' needs in mind, and it's really the, you know, doctors and the government that should step up and provide the patients with the information that they need. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there, state by state and even county by county, mm-hmm. in some of these places.
Well, Danny, this has been an absolutely wonderful and chock full of information interview here today. I really appreciate you joining us to share your knowledge and expertise with the patients and caregivers out there, and I really look forward to our next talk.
Great. Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate your podcast and all the work that you do for Normal. And I want to encourage everybody out there to join up and do whatever they can locally to change the laws and free the bud, free the medicine, and, you know, keep people out of jail. That's really what we're trying to do.
Right on, man. That is definitely what it's all about. Danny Danko is the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine. You can find his work in High Times Magazine and up on their website. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. Next up on the stash, we got a great weekend music mix for you here. Let's get into it with Ziggy Marley's Into the Groove. We found this track up at podshow.com. We have links to the album on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
We lose ourselves just to find who we are. Into the groove, where we get to fly, but we need not see the sky. Into the groove, where we escape from the surface of what we've become. Into the groove, come for the ride. Like a
we lose ourselves just to find who we are. Into the groove, we get to fly, but we need not see the sky. Into the groove, we escape from the surface of what we've become. Into the groove, come for the
was Ziggy Marley right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash with that track, Into the Groove. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. Listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.